Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR to sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. AJ and Rudo coming at you as the Avs lose to the Florida Panthers 5-4, unfortunately late in regulation. The third period kind of felt like a different world than the rest of this game, but it was all one singular game. We'll talk about it top to bottom here. I believe it is me for the 60-second run down. So let's just jump into that first, and we'll go from there.
3, 2, 1.
Avs actually played very, very well for the first 9 minutes of this hockey game. I believe they were out shooting Florida 7-1 at one point. Really good hockey, except for the finishing. Then they just implode. They have their 5 to 10 minute stretch of terrible hockey, where Florida ends up scoring 3 goals. The Avs just stick the barrel straight to their own foot and pull the trigger to go down 3-0. They do get one back at the end of the first to make it 3-1. The second was a horrendous period at 5-on-5 for the Avalanche, both just getting dominated and taking terrible shots. They had 2 power play opportunities that created multiple chances, and they literally just couldn't score into an empty net. They're down 4-1 by the end of the second. The third period, the Avs come roaring back. Florida has their own little implosion. The Avs actually score 4 goals, but only 3 of them count to tie it 4-4. And then a questionable penalty, which leads to a really bad luck goal, gets Florida the win 5-4 late. This game was all over the place.
I think that you're excusing all of Colorado's poor play.
I'm not.
I'm gonna need you to understand here and focus that the Avs are bad.
Oh, okay. I see.
They are only bad.
I see.
There is no good left in the universe. They don't belong where they are in the standings. They're only lucky because Georgiev was good for a little while. He's bad now because they're all bad.
I see.
Bad luck doesn't actually exist, and that only other teams are allowed good breaks because they earned them through hard work and voodoo. Okay?
So bad luck doesn't exist, but voodoo does.
Yes.
Just so we're clear on the metrics.
Exactly.
Here. Okay. Got it. Just
so
checking.
I'm going to need you to shape up here, okay?
All right.
Stop making excuses. Stop refusing to hold the Avs accountable for anything that they've ever done, good or bad. And I just need you to understand that they are only bad.
Well, good news for people with that take. Let's talk about the first period, because the second half of that first period, yeah, that was only bad.
What?
Other than the goal they scored.
Yeah, exactly.
But from 9:30 to like 4 minutes left in the first period was only bad. There is not a whole lot of good to look at there. Am I right?
I don't know. Are you?
I mean, let's start with the first goal. There are 4 breakdowns on that play in total. You have a puck that gets in deep that the Avs lose the race to. You have Makar and Taves with some weird mix-up behind the net. You have Darren Helm not back-checking well enough. You have Makar not covering back well enough.
Helm not backchecking well enough because he thinks that the top defensive pairing in the NHL has
Sure.
Which they should have.
And then you have Georgiev not making a save that he probably should have. And that's just the first goal.
It's a bad play.
All the way around.
That's what I need you to focus on, just the bad.
Well, that's what I'm focused on.
Yeah, just the bad.
It was bad. Second goal. I don't know what the hell EJ's doing.
Yeah, what are you doing is a very fair question. I'm pretty sure when they go into video tomorrow, that's just going to be, what were you doing, fella?
No idea. I don't know what he's doing. And then Georgiev gets beat short side.
Georgiev gives up a fucking horrible goal. That second goal is, you look at that and you're like, is this good coverage? No. Is this a good play by Eric Johnson that kickstarts this whole thing the other direction? No. Is this good goaltending?
But also,
no.
Georgiev is one off his angle and two actively moves his glove out of the way of the shot.
It's so bad, man.
And it goes in the net.
It's so bad.
I have no excuses. I have no excuses on the third goal either, where the Avs take a penalty. And certainly by the box score, the Avs are going to have lost this game by special teams. It's a lot more complicated than that. We'll get into it. But on the box score,
it's no complicated.
Florida goes 2-for-2. The Avs go 0-for-3.
Done.
The first one being a just rawly unacceptable turnover from Sam Girard.
Yeah, and like we say that, but like you watch the play and the puck squirts out to him and he gets a stick on it.
Sure.
And like he's not actually making a play there.
I get it.
He's reacting to it.
I get it, but your puck can't go to the middle like
that.
Dude,
it's a bad play. I'm saying it's a bad play.
I thought we were focusing on the bad.
We are. It is a bad job by Sam Girard, but it's not like it's on his stick and he flubs a clear,
no,
right?
No, sure, I get it.
He boofs it before he even gets a chance to get it, like, clearly on. It's just, it's so bad, man.
It goes across to the opposite side. That one, Georgiev certainly had no chance on.
Oh, totally.
And you blink, and you're down 3-0.
Yeah, and you're not even mad at EJ for not being prepared for that puck to randomly be coming across.
That puck never goes there.
Right, that puck squirts out of the corner and then off a teammate's stick. Like, from Eric Johnson's perspective, you can understand why he's not all over Sam Bennett in front of the net right there. He thinks that puck's about
going
to be
the other way.
Exactly. That is a Sam Girard problem.
If you're not reading that at the NHL level, you're reading the play too slowly, and then Sam just makes an error.
Like, yeah. So that's I saw some people being like, "Oh my God, EJ," and I'm like, "What do you want the guy to do in that spot?" Like, my goodness,
The one thing I would say about that, I thought his positioning was a little bit weird off puck because he kind of just does the thing that defensemen do where they just float to the front of the net, which is what they're told to do. So it's fine. You're not asking EJ to see the future.
See, it's enough excuses.
Are we giving anyone?
No excuses.
Have we given anyone excuses yet?
It's only bad.
Anyway, yeah, it's genuinely... this can't keep happening.
What I've learned doing this job is that when people say play 60 minutes, they mean dominate for 60 minutes,
which is impossible.
That's really all that ever actually means.
Turns out they play 60 minutes almost every game.
Yeah, sometimes they play 65 when they get a little wild, or between 60 and 65.
There's been a few games where they didn't play a full 60 because of like crazy things that have happened.
Yeah,
but
it's true.
Like 99% of games, a full 60 minutes gets played.
Yeah, man, you gotta definitely cut Sam Girard. I love that. Cut him. Like with a knife.
Dude, bring up Keaton Middleton. Let's go.
Yeah, man, he's so much better.
Look, as much as we're having a little bit of fun with this, this is a couple of games now, not necessarily consecutively, but you've seen the Avs have these five-minute implosions.
Yeah,
and no one's asking the Avs. Well, okay, that's not true. A lot of people are asking the Avs to play a full 60, but in reality, it's impossible to play a full 60 of domination. But you have to be able to stop the bleeding.
Well, and this is where there was a lot of timeout talk at the end of the night.
Yeah,
this is where consistently we've seen Bednar's trusting his team.
to right the ship themselves.
Look, you don't have your captain, and you've now watched several games where this team has gotten into big time problems.
Yep.
Giving up several goals in just a handful of minutes. Call your fucking timeout, dude.
I certainly after the second goal.
Call your timeout.
You've given up two bad ones at that point.
Yeah. Call your timeout and settle them down. Have a conversation. If they still go out there and drop the ball, then you can at least as a coach say, I did what I could.
I used the one weapon that I had.
Yeah, right now, Jared Bednar's looking at it and just saying, I didn't do shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fully in agreement with you there. In hindsight, again, is Frankie actually 100%? Maybe. I don't know. But you really had to seriously consider pulling Georgiev after that first period, if not after the second or third goal. Opted not to, and, you know, obviously the team loses this as a team. Georgiev isn't really at fault for the way the rest of this game went. So, whatever. But it's just, the Avs have to find something. They cannot continue these spells of stacking that many bad plays in a row on top.
Well, and to be honest, this self-destruction occurred last year, too.
It did.
The team just figured out ways to work around it in the games where it did happen.
And they
right now, they're happening more often. And they don't have the talent or maturity right now on this group to overcome those mistakes. Well, their margin for error is not as large as it was.
And look, Florida helped them along the way here, but they almost figured it out tonight. They almost outscored their problems tonight. Almost.
Yeah.
And it shows that, for one positive, even with them playing like as poorly as they have, their margins are still pretty thin.
Yeah, it's a really thin margin of error. The margin of error in the NHL is thin.
Yep.
It just is. The difference between teams is not usually very large.
All teams are good.
Now, we'll see Chicago in a couple of days, and we'll see one of the true baddies in the NHL.
Yep.
That is just not good, right? Like, they're just fucking not good.
They're actively trying to not be good.
Yeah, and so we will see, and in a stretch coming up, you got... I think Ottawa and Detroit are also on the schedule coming up pretty soon. So the schedule gets a little easier where the Avs, let's be real here, the Avs haven't played very many of the bad teams in the NHL. As far as I know, they have no games against the state of California except for the LA game that they lost in overtime.
And that's like, it was that in Arizona were like the two easy teams.
And
in this
Arizona,
stretch,
they have a couple
with the
games
travel
left.
Issues and whatever.
Chicago, obviously, they played on opening night.
Yeah.
But other than that, like, they have not gotten very many of those
bottom
teams.
They have a lot of
games
against San Jose.
So they have a couple of these.
Anaheim,
they have a couple of these coming up for all of the, oh God, are they going to make the postseason people? They do have, their schedule gets quite a bit easier opponent wise coming up, but. I don't know how much that's going to help you guys feel better.
I again, with nights like this, I think most people have already made their mind up on how they want to feel.
Yeah. Well, and like, dude, you should be mad about tonight. You should be disappointed. 100%. It should just be
hard agree.
Yeah, you know, you want panic, but I asked this on the watch along. When has panic ever produced a good result?
Agreed.
Think about any time in your own personal life when you have ever panicked about something and it led to a good thing.
I would say don't misconstrue frustration, anger, things like that with panic. Because you want an emotion that you can channel into improving things.
Yeah.
And you're not channeling panic. Panic is just out of control. So, I don't think the Avs are even close to panicking, if I'm being honest with you. Certainly not on a bigger scale than on play-to-play basis.
Yeah.
But it's... I feel really weird about this game because in the middle of the second period, there really isn't a lot to take from it. But by the end of the game... You have a lot to talk about.
Oh, I mean, so you give up the three in the first period, and you feel like shit. You're like, this game's over because they can't score.
Yep.
They're not playing good hockey. They get one back.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Let's
like,
see
that's
if
what
they
you
can
need
make
to do.
It a game. Yeah.
It's like, hey, if you get one back by the end of the first period, then you're looking at, okay, like, all right, this is a thing that we can...
Well, and
we've got 40 minutes to score two goals.
On a grander scale, if you're looking for a positive here, the Avs got good depth production tonight, starting with that first goal.
Yeah.
A McDermott shot into a Cogliano tip.
Yeah.
Something they haven't gotten enough of was depth production. And while it didn't get them over the hump tonight, something to build on, to say the least. Certainly at that point in the game, you say, okay, you find the positives where you can.
Yeah, that calmness won them a Stanley Cup, Avery, so calm the fuck down.
It's a bad period.
It's a bad period that was... It's not salvageable,
but it went from complete disaster to, well, they're not
near
dead.
Complete disaster. Yeah. Like, you're down 3-1 after a first period. You feel like shit. There is no way around that.
You're lying on the ground bleeding and out, but you're not a corpse yet.
What's frustrating is that they played their way into that result. They fucking earned that.
Yeah, 100%.
They earned being down 3-1.
That is exactly what they deserved. And then you get to the second period where... It's insane the difference between 5-on-5 and special teams here. And I know the Avs went 0-for-3 on the power play tonight, but it certainly wasn't for lack of chances. They just could not put the puck in the net on the power play.
Yeah, I mean, is your best scoring chance Sam Girard missing just an empty net on the back door?
Missing the puck entirely?
Yeah. I mean, it bounces over a stick. He doesn't, and then he regathers it in and collects it.
And at least the 4x6 is still completely wide.
Yeah,
open.
And Bobrovsky hasn't really recovered, and the defenseman's able to get over and get a stick on him.
Yep.
That's your best scoring chance. But again, Nathan MacKinnon finds Cale Makar cutting in on the back door, and Makar just misses the net.
Yep.
Mikko Rantanen has a puck pop out to him completely by himself.
I mean,
he gathers it in. He inspects it. He goes all Sherlock Holmes. He does a full blown investigation. He gets to pick his spots
and just doesn't score.
He RoboCops it up. Percentages here, percentage there. Here's where I can. He gets two wide open looks at it, one-on-one against Bobrovsky, and doesn't score.
He gets the second look. He misses on the first one, and it comes back to him, and he shoots it into the glove again.
He gathers it up. No defender makes a move towards him. Walks out to it and does nothing. And it's just like...
Come on, man.
And you can't be mad at Sam Girard for that. You can't be mad at Alexander Georgiev for that. That's a guy that's leading your team in goals.
And he just didn't put it in the back of the net.
In goals.
No one you'd rather have shooting from there.
I don't know what else to say, man.
And this is hindsight-y for sure. But you look at that goal or non-goal, and then you look at how Bobrovsky fell the fuck apart later in this game. And you're like, man, come on. Anyway.
Yeah.
On that note, we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can find it at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to find it in all of the 50 United States. So you can get it even in Hawaii, Alaska, out there in those crazy places. I think it might even be making its way into Canada now. God knows this team makes me want to drink right now. So Breckenridge Brewery might be your answer to that question. Also brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. You can use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account with them. Go on there, bet $5 for any NHL team to win their next game. And if they do, you get $150 in free bets. Might be a decent emotional hedge to bet against the Avs right now. So... maybe that's the way you go with it, to figure out a way to feel a little bit better about some of these games. I don't know. Whatever you got to do. Of course, you can bet on whatever you want. Doesn't have to be hockey. I see we got the Australian Open on over here on a side television.
Yeah, so. It's ESPN Plus is great for that because they have a camera on every court.
Yeah.
It's wonderful for that.
It is
I'm a
awesome.
Big fan for that.
Hard agree.
And those cameramen are actually good.
Shout out tonight's cameraman.
Yeah. Should have been the real king of the game, man.
Had a tough one.
Drunk cameraman.
According to the chat, he cost us the game tonight.
Yo, I think everything cost the Avs the game tonight. The weather, the traffic on the way into the arena.
Listen to the wrong song.
Yo, yeah. I don't know what Mikko Rantanen's pregame routine is, but it's got to stop. You need a new one, bud.
Yeah, I don't know what the cameraman was doing, but go to DraftKings.
He was all over the place.
Can't bet on the cameraman, unfortunately, as
Fuck
far
yeah,
as I
blame
know
Christmas,
of.
Too. Fuck Christmas.
Must be 21 or older, Colorado only, other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See the show notes down below for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. So, second period, Avs can't convert their power plays. Florida ends up making it 4-1.
Yeah, that's a goal. That's a goal that I just don't. I mean, I'll go back here in an hour or two and rewatch
it.
And
run
it
back just to confirm everything,
and,
of course.
You know, because I get home and I watch every game all over again, which makes nights like tonight especially not great.
Just skip the second period, except for that goal.
Yeah, that's where a lot of that clip's coming from, man.
I know.
It's really just that goal. I almost don't know what to say with it, because I don't feel like the Avs play it as a team poorly.
I feel like
Florida plays it well, and then they get just a little bit of that like classic hockey luck where you throw guys at the front of the net because you're hoping that a puck will squirt out to you on the other side of it.
And it does.
And that's exactly what happens, and he actually puts it into the net.
Yep. Finishes a chance where the Avs don't.
Yeah, and like scores, and like I just don't have like it's a totally legit goal,
and
I don't feel like it's like an it's I don't I'm not like wow we're so lucky or unlucky or whatever. I just feel like you throw a puck at the goalie at the end of the nearing the end of the period like that because you're hoping to get that exact bounce, and they get it.
Well,
and then they convert on it, which is where Colorado struggled all night.
Like this is. We're going to get to the third period in a little bit, and there's a lot of positives to talk about the Avs getting themselves back in this game. But the reality is the Avs should have never been in this spot in the first place, with marginally better finishing and marginally better not making cataclysmic errors. This game should not have been 4-1.
Yeah.
The problem isn't necessarily the fourth goal. It's how you got yourself into this position in the first place, because bounces happen. Weird stuff happens in hockey. Nah. If that goal makes it 2-1 and you take away the catastrophic errors you've had, or if it's 2-2 at that point, if you scored another goal, that goal doesn't feel nearly as bad. It doesn't feel good, but you feel like you're still in the hockey.
But you're not punching the wall like this game's fucking done, man.
Exactly. So it's really, really tough to me, because the problem there is not the play on that goal. It's everything else. It's everything leading to that. Particularly in the immediate, their inability to score on the two power plays they had. Sometimes you got to find creative ways around the problem.
Yeah, and the power play thing is weird because obviously MacKinnon isn't on it.
Yep.
That last power play, Nathan McKinnon's
not on it.
The full
2 minutes, it's Erod and Compher out there.
Yeah, there's no Nathan MacKinnon on it, and that first unit keeps possession and keeps it in, so that second unit like stepped onto the ice.
As it was expiring.
Yeah, and that was it.
Which, I mean, weird. I don't know. I'm not going to question that one too much. When you're in a game where you're down 3-1 and you're not finishing chances, I understand trying something. AJ, I know the thought that came to your mind was maybe, hey, Nathan MacKinnon, wake up here a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, look, he scores that goal.
Yeah, yeah. The off the Mikko
in the
pass.
Third, well, in the third period, but you don't feel any kind of way about Nathan MacKinnon was good tonight.
Nope.
Because, I mean, he just wasn't good tonight.
Yeah, it certainly is Australia Lange talking about the 6-on-5. Definitely felt like he played into the defense a lot tonight.
Yeah, and I've got stuff to talk about there, so we'll get to it. Yeah.
But it's again, it's just so hard. The fact that they made it a game from the hole that they put themselves in is impressive. And while still ultimately disappointing, that's why you don't put yourself in those holes. It's because it's just so hard to come back and win games like that.
Yeah. Because you know, you need to do everything right, and you need something to go your way. And, yep. You know, I don't know if we want to get into the third period already.
No, we're heading there. We're heading there.
Because you need to do everything right, and you need something to go your way, and that's what happens.
And they got some of that.
They come out on fire. Yep. They come out pushing play. They're attacking. They're on top of them. And then Rantanen gets a bullshit, you know, he
wraparound nonsense.
Yeah, he tries a wraparound seconds after we were contemplating if we were ever going to see a wraparound goal ever in our lives.
And he gets one.
And like they get lucky there because that's a puck where a play where the puck just goes off of Bobrovsky skated in.
It's not like Mikko tucked it.
The end result is what Miko's trying to do, but how he got there, he gets lucky.
For sure. So you have that one. It gets the Avs on the board.
Yeah, you're feeling, okay, it's 4-2 with 13 and a half minutes to play.
Credit to the Avs. They pushed their balls off.
Yeah, they had come out in the third period pressing.
Yep.
You know, the first shift of the third period, is it one that you love?
It was all Florida there.
Yeah, where you were like, okay, what's going on here? And then, but they come out and with aggression, with energy, with legs, with jump, they're playing.
And they snap the next goal
up. It's fair to wonder, like, why aren't we seeing this consistently? What's going on here? You know, whatever. Yeah. But they come out the start of the third period in the situation that they're in. It's 4-1. You know, whatever. Mikko makes it 4-2, and you're like, okay, they've got 13 and a half minutes. They can score two more. Sergei Bobrovsky did not look great.
Well, certainly 30 seconds later, he looked real bad.
And 20 seconds. It's 20 seconds. McKinnon comes down and puts a 5-hole on him.
Yep.
Now it's 4-3, and everybody's jumping.
Yeah.
And you've scored two goals in 20 seconds. You're still over 13 minutes to play. Your deficit, when you got into the 13-minute mark, was 3.
And now
you
it's
left
one.
The 13-minute mark, and it's 1, and you're feeling way better about life.
Yep.
And the building is vibing. You are flying around. Everything is going your way. You get another one. You tie the game up. You get Evan Rodriguez, nice play through the neutral zone.
Great rush entry. You find Lecky on the backside
You get the exact kind of play that Florida scored for their fourth goal.
Yep.
You get a rebound that lands on a stick, and you score into an open net.
And Devontae's is that far offside.
And anybody that was watching it live, watching our watch along, heard me saying, that's off.
Yep.
That's off. And then it got scored, and I was like, it's off.
Yep.
It's off. He is, and this is the difference, right? The Avs are 2 inches from having a 4-4 game and absolutely vibing.
And the building just on fire.
So the goal gets taken off. It's 4-3. You can just...
The building is silent.
It's gone.
I don't want to pass over this because I think the Avs deserve an insane amount of credit for the mental fortitude.
They absolutely deserve credit for it. Yes. Because they push. That gets taken away. This is where we were talking about earlier, the difference between panic, urgency, calmness. There was no panic.
Yep.
But there was clearly a sense of urgency.
Yep.
They come right down the ice and score again. And JT Compher with just an excellent shot.
Unreal shot.
An excellent shot, a totally screened Sergei Bobrovsky. Can't do anything about that one. You're not looking at him going, bro, like you are on the third goal. You tie the game. It's 4-4. The building is now back on fire.
Yep.
You're vibing. Everything is good. You're feeling, hey, let's see. You feel great about it. I mean, it's 4-4. You're in a new world.
Yep.
You've
reset the game.
Exactly. You have reset the game, but now you have the momentum.
Yep.
And each team, you know, from there, Florida has chances, but it's nothing special. It's nothing amazing. It's not like they flipped the switch and we're like, we must regain this lead.
It's back and forth. Two good teams.
At that point, it's a quality hockey game between two teams that need points.
Yep.
Two teams that are not expected to be in the position that they're in. And are in.
And for a guy who, on the whole, you needed better from tonight, Georgiev played really, really well in the third.
Came up with a really big glove save. And then you get the sequence.
I would really, 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 really didn't want to talk about this tonight. I really, really did.
I've had people tweet at me that it was a follow-through, and that's why it wasn't called on Compher.
Okay, sure.
I'm going to go back and we'll watch it and I'll.
I do not care. It could totally be a non-penalty entirely.
I think it's a two-part frustration because...
Correct.
It sure looked like JT Compher should have been drawing a high stick call right
and
there.
And this is the real problem.
But in no world, do you not... Like, the embellishment penalty existed for that exact situation.
Yeah.
Does Mikko Rantanen interfere with Nick Cousins? Yes. Does Nick Cousins flop
to the moon?
Like yes. He's fucking Vlade Divac in 1998. Yes. Oh my God, yes. Is that the floppiest flop that has ever flopped in the flop history of flops? Say flop one more time.
Flop.
Nice. It's the floppiest shit I've ever seen. And normally... I am not a big, like, he dove. Oh, look at that flop. Look at that. Like, I'm not super into that. I'm not super into deciding.
You and I.
That is that you could not get a more obvious flop in the history of any of the sports in which flopping is a regular problem.
Like, you and I have always been very, like, we talk about it all the time when people get high-sticked in the face.
Yeah.
It's just a natural reaction to go like this.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't even get hit and you do that.
Nick Cousins gets hit in the shoulder, starts to fall over, and then goes...
And jumps. Yeah, you can see that he leaps into that motherfucker.
It's two completely separate actions. I don't know what to tell you, man. Yeah, that incredulous face is all there is to say about it.
And then you have a good PK. You're killing the penalty. You're fine. Yep. You're over a minute into it. You're almost done.
You play a minute 40 of great penalty kill.
You are doing fine, and then Makhachuk gets a couple whacks at it, and I see people who have been like, oh, the net front defense isn't strong enough. This puck goes in. This puck goes in because...
Kale gets a stick on it.
It goes off of Kale McCarr, and then it goes off of Evan Rodriguez's skate on the back door.
Kale McCarr, who wins the puck battle in front to get it cleared out,
yeah.
And Evan Rodriguez, who is boxing out his man properly,
yeah, on the back door.
Yeah.
Two guys doing the right thing and get it goes punished with the goal off against of them.
Yeah. What do you say?
It's like, not even a billiard style goal because if you do that shit in billiards and you don't call your shot,
it doesn't
they
count.
They pull it off the board.
That's called slop.
I mean,
and that's the stuff that you look at and it's like
this is a hockey thing,
right?
This happens in hockey, but this is where this is my frustration where I've gone to war with the internet over the last week. Is when you talk about a team getting lucky or unlucky or whatever, but what the hell do you say about that?
Like,
what do the Avs do wrong there? You could be mad about, oh, they gave up. They shouldn't give up three goals in the first period. And like
the only thing you can say is they shouldn't have been in that place in the first place. But you have to play the game you're in.
In the situation
you have to play the game that you're in. And they played it well.
And they did what they were supposed to be doing. And you got robbed.
Yep. You get a play on top of this. Georgiev makes three good saves.
Yeah.
On the initial part of that play.
And Makhachuk just keeps slamming it into his pad, and everybody's like, cool.
And some bullshit insanity happens, and the Avs look at that and go, gee, like, I really wish we could have a bounce like that.
On a make your own luck world, in a make your own luck take, what does Florida do to deserve that?
Unless Matt Tkachuk has mind control powers.
They lose. They get three shots. They get three shots in close with their best goal scorer. Don't get it in. Then McCarr's about to take over. And it does what it does. In what way did a team earn that?
I don't know. They
get a penalty call that should not have been called. They should have been on a PK themselves. And if we give you that it's a follow through and they shouldn't have been on a PK, it should have been 4v4 because it was an embellishment of all embellishments. And then you do the right thing on the PK. It's not even like, oh, well, they. It's not even like we just fell apart on the PK and it was bad and a guy scored in front. This isn't like the Vancouver game.
You got one
where you're looking at somebody and you're saying, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Everyone's
covered.
They
did everything they should have been doing. You want to argue that they were a little weak with Tkachuk getting three whacks at it? Fair point. But he gets three whacks, you get three saves.
Yep. And then you get your defenseman wins a battle for the puck and it just doesn't go your way. Like,
And that's that.
Yep. And then you lose the game.
And that's the game-winning goal against you when shit is going wrong.
Yeah, and there is no magic sauce. Once you're in that moment, there's no magic sauce that fixes that. You just have to hope in the grand scheme everything balances out. And down the line when it matters that the Avs are getting bounces like that. Because you could run that exact play 100 times, and I genuinely don't know that you get that result in that way again. You would go 0 for 100.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy the way that thing worked out.
So, I don't know. And yes, the Avs go, their PK fails to kill two power plays tonight. Yes.
And then you've got the last couple minutes of the game that they just don't do shit on.
They don't play well before the goalie pull, and they look completely lost after the goalie pull.
Yeah, like they don't do a goddamn thing from that point on. And if you want to be mad about that, then be mad about that, because you should be.
Yeah.
That's bad hockey.
There's every stretch of this game other than the first 9 minutes and that 7-minute stretch in the third period, I think it's fair that you're upset with the way the Avs played.
Totally.
But I just don't... You're not going to play perfect every night. The Avs did enough to get themselves back into this game, and a break just went hard against them at the end of the game. Like, just couldn't buy one.
Yeah, and then you're not nearly good enough to finish it. The 6-on-5, they clearly have paid attention in their video session.
Yep.
Because they know that the Avs love to play that
out
high game.
They watched Nathan McKinnon float out high. They had the bodies out there
to
cover him.
They had three guys aggressively covering both defensemen and McKinnon that when they were out high.
Yep.
They are actively trying to take that away. McKinnon makes two brutal decisions.
I mean, one of them
should
have ended the game.
Should have costed them an empty net goal.
6-4 final.
Yeah, like, absolutely cost them. And should have cost them, and they got away with it when it was icing.
Yep.
And then they never get back in the zone with possession. It's terrible.
The Avs actively ice the puck themselves a little bit later with 6-on-5.
Yeah. Their play in that situation was just bad. They did not get off the mat after the goal.
Yep.
That was the KO punch, and that was it.
It's just
they never got off that mat in the last few minutes of the game. Just terrible.
Well, if you want to get off the mat and go see a hockey game, you can do it with Game Time. Get on over to Game Time with the link down in the description of the video. When you click it, it'll take you to their app. Over 15 million people use it, and you can get tickets up to 60% off. Jump on it. There you go. Yahir's showing you the way to get into the Game Time link. Once you're in there, it'll give you pictures of the seats. You can buy whatever you want. You don't have to go to an Avs game if you don't want. They got tickets for every event around the country.
Can you just give this guy a timeout real quick? Not a ban, just
yeah, timeout.
Yeah, it's just the same thing over and over, man.
Who?
KO.
I mean, I think he's just trolling.
Yeah, exactly.
Point, so timeout is perfectly fine with me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Anyway, there you go. You can see it on screen. You can get your tickets. You can see where you're sitting. You can get all of the awesome stuff. Again, it doesn't have to be hockey. If you want to go catch the Nuggets, a team that's winning a lot of games right now, you can do that too.
Man, I had a conversation with Adam Mattes last week, 2 weeks ago. He was like, where are you on the Nuggets? And I was like, I'm not there yet. And they've been so fucking good ever since that I'm like,
are you there yet?
Man. Is this just the year where I don't believe in something and the world is out to make me feel bad
just
about myself?
Feel
like,
wrong.
Good Lord, man. It's crazy, dude. They're a lot of fun to watch, though. Point being.
They're a fun team right now, for sure.
You guys, if you're looking for better vibes.
Nuggets vibes are good right now.
Yeah. Man. We've switched positions where last year we were kind of just rolling along doing our thing and every night was a slog for them.
Yep.
It was tough.
It's slog season for the Avs right now.
Yeah,
sure.
This year we are grinding through this part of the season where we're just waiting. Every night you're hoping for the best, but you're just waiting. I had no idea Val Nichushkin was so valuable. But watching the team defense between when he was in there and even not even even very good.
The start when he came back the first time, it was like, oh.
Well, and all of a sudden the Avs are out shooting teams by 15. Yeah. Like you're like, oh, the Avs are back. And it's like, no, man, it's Nichushkin. Because Nuke goes back and they immediately nosedive again. And you're like, so it's just Val.
Well, and the most notable place is the forecheck pressure with him. Like,
yeah,
the Avs are a completely different monster on the forecheck.
Well, and not just the forecheck, but also just the neutral zone game.
Yeah, where he's, of course, it's really good there too.
Fuck, I'll just write a piece.
There you go.
Fuck this, man. I'm not gonna waste 20 minutes gabbing about it on the pod. I'll just write a piece, throw a bunch of video in there, and let you guys see that the guy's a monster.
Yep, that functions. We are also brought to you by FOCO, by the way. Got to get that one in there. You can get all of your sports apparel, merchandise, bobbleheads, you name it, from FOCO.com. You go over there today.
They are great.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
They have a whole bunch of crazy, weird sports stuff that, like, people love. Little knickknacks and stuff. Yeah.
Well, and like, you know, like, sports fans are like...
into that.
Yeah, they want, like... Okay, here's an obscure thing that I want, but I love the Avs. I'm putting an Avs logo on it, and I'm buying it. That's what FOCO's for.
Pretty much. They get you the hookup, any sports team you want, really. But, you know, we're mostly about the Avs here, I imagine. Check them out. Use the DNVR code when you check out. You get free shipping, and I believe it's 10% off. So FOCO.com, got you covered. Okay, we have, what, like 4 Super Chats to get to here? Oh, yeah. Obviously.
Wait. Hold on. Who do you guys think is king of the game?
Who does chat think should be king? And if you watch the watch along, you can't cheat. But
yeah, true. If you watch the watch along, you already know, because we were hardcore rooting for it. Rooting for a thing that we make the call on. Like, we can't just choose
it.
Exactly. Who cares what happens in the game? We're just deciding this guy.
Okay, drum roll.
No one.
It's just people from the watch along cheating. Slackers. Everyone just cheating. Of course it's Curtis McDermott.
Absolutely. It's the big fella, man. I mean, that's... When we're upset about, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got whatever, he gets into a fight. We don't really get to watch it. Because two scrums are going on at the same time, and ESPN focuses on the wrong one.
Yeah.
You catch the second half
of it where he's beating the piss out of some guy.
It certainly looks like Curtis McDermott beat that guy up pretty solidly. So that was sick. And then he gets two assists.
Yeah.
Two assists, throwing the puck to the front of the net. What's up, Sam Girard? Where are you at?
I mean, look, the first assist was genuinely good. He threw it to the net on a nice play. Cogs gets a good tip on it. The second assist, he rifles it into JT Compher's chest.
You're glad it was a wrister, because otherwise he might have killed JT.
Yeah, right.
No chance for the turnaround shot that followed, that tied the game. Yep.
Not as good, but good enough to get king of the game in a nonsense hockey game.
And what's funny is after that, he had a couple more shifts.
Really bad.
And he makes a couple of plays.
Where you're like, oh no.
Oh no, we're going to have to take it away from him. But no, it was great. I mean, I wish it was Curtis McDermott in a more fun context, like the Martin Kaut one that we gave out earlier this year. But
I did love that picture of Martin Kaut, though. I mean, of Dermy, where he's just ready to, like, knuckle up.
Yep. That's how the Dermy do.
I've long struggled with Sam Girard and his offensive play. I mean, you go back to like his second year, and I was like, everything stops at the center line.
Yep.
Like, he doesn't drive. He doesn't do enough in the offensive zone. So I've kind of always had that conversation of Girard is. Girard is such a polarizing. Because based on his size and his skating and his puck handling, you would say he's an offensive defenseman. But he's never put up prolific offensive numbers. And he's always been an underrated defender. So he's been overrated offensively and underrated defensively. before the season. And this year, we've seen a lot of problems with both.
The Avs fan base at current, I think, still underrates his defense, not because his defense is amazing, but because the Avs fan base is just dumping on him at any chance they get right now.
Yeah.
There are still a lot of good things he does defensively, mixed in with the bad things that he does defensively. The offensive side, I think especially a part of it, is the book. The entire league has the book now, and they will at every opportunity say, beat us with your shot, Sam Girard. We dare you. We dare you to beat us with your shot.
Yeah.
And most of the time he can't.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of defensemen in the league that give you 4 or 5 goals a year.
Yeah, for sure.
Sam Girard's not special in that regard.
Well, hard agree.
You know, but there needs to be... Girard's real value to the Avs was his ability defensively. He was fine. He's good. He's solid. He reads the play really well. He's really smart. He has a good active stick. But when he would get the puck on a stick, he could break it out of his own zone. Yeah. He could skate it out at a really high level. It was a thing he did really well that we're not seeing nearly as much of this year. And we're seeing that when he tries to force it with the pass,
it causes problems. Yeah.
It's been problematic, it just hasn't been good enough.
And part of this issue, not to excuse Sam Girard fully here, but he's playing next to a guy who has 0 goals this season.
Yeah,
and just looks completely ineffective on the offensive side of the puck.
Yeah, and last year was next to Jack Johnson. This year is Eric Johnson. We were really hoping to see more of the Josh Manson, Sam Girard pairing. I don't know if we're going to get that when Manson comes back. We'll see. But you know, we'll see. But I think even with all this, however you feel about Girard and his long term future in Colorado, I think the majority of people would just say he needs to play better.
Yeah, there is no other option realistically to make your team better than that. All right, what some super chats? Super chat time. $2 from Brooke, who says, my perspective is still feel lucky to watch this team. I mean, we talked about it a little bit on the watch along. This season is a free roll in a lot of ways. Like,
sucks that it's going like this.
It certainly could be a lot funner, but it's really, really hard to be long-term mad at a team that won the Stanley Cup 8 months ago, not even 7 months ago.
Yeah, is still the defending Stanley Cup champions here, but also has spent 0 games healthy this year.
Yep.
We haven't gotten to see the roster they built in action yet.
Certainly every reason to believe that healthy, this team is still really, really, really good.
Yeah, and I can understand this version of the team isn't your favorite to watch. It's not mine either, guys.
$10 from KO saying, cut Sammy G, say A. Look, if you want to troll and you pay us money, I will let you troll with Super Chats as much as you want.
It's true.
I had to give him another 5-minute timeout, man. He wouldn't stop.
Well, I mean, at that point, you have a learning disability, and nothing we can do about that.
If he keeps spamming the chat, keep timing him out. It's easy life. If he really won't quit, then he can get a ban.
Yeah, I'm not trying to ban him.
Learn what we're trying to do.
We hate banning people.
Yeah, it's not something we don't want to do. It's like blocking people on Twitter. Yep. I only do it in really egregious cases, Brandon Davenport.
But also, like, know when to chill. Like, you've gotten your point across. Relax. $5 from Dirk, who says, sometimes a loss can galvanize a team more than a win. Game 5 versus the Blues comes to mind. Honestly, I think that was more the Vancouver game than this game.
I mean, I had people telling me they thought that the Edmonton game was going to be where the season turns around, and then tonight immediately happens. And so it's like, when we get to the end of the year, we'll see if the season turns around. We'll be able to look back on it. We don't need to anoint the game now.
I still feel like the Vancouver game felt like a turning point in the season of we're going to see which way the Avs go from there. And people can disagree. That's fine. But to me, that one felt like the emotional boiling point for the Avs, far more than tonight did, at very least.
We'll see.
And
we'll see.
Again, every time I say stuff like this, hit me up in February when the Avs are healthy. The team just looks very, very different a month from now.
Well, and not even a month. I mean, just bring Val back. Val and Josh Manson and like, I think, because you're talking about their 4 players down. Any combination of those two.
Yeah, pick two and you feel a lot better.
And I think you're feeling significant. I mean, if it's Byram and Manson, then
I think
okay.
Even,
well,
I think
then
even
your
then
defense
you feel
needs
a lot
to be
better.
The real strength of your team.
All
again.
Of a sudden, EJ's on your bottom pair again, and like
exactly. Well, and you're able to manage bad nights
right.
a lot
if,
better.
If Sam's having
like,
an off night, okay, Byram, go play more.
Exactly, like, you can manage because this is what we've talked about this. The team chose to build itself as its greatest strength, its defense.
Yep,
they chose to lean into that. And when that unit is not healthy...
And they've been missing a third of it for the majority of the season. Or more at times.
And then you combine it with, okay, that means you're living with a weakness, more of a weakness at forward.
Yep.
Which is missing two of your...
Top six.
And the two-way guy thing kills me the most about it. Because
that helps shore up if you're missing defensive guys.
Exactly. Because if they had both Landy and Nichushkin and they were weaker on the back end... They would still be so much better defensively than they are right now just because of what those guys do all 200 feet of the ice. So, yeah, last I checked, Berkey was leading Seattle in scoring.
Yeah, he was scoring insanely well for Seattle.
So, not quite at a point per game pace, but, like, that guy is doing his thing. He wanted a bigger role, and he's getting it. It's good for him.
And the amazing Drew, with his usual insane $50, missed saves and missed empty nets cost them. It doesn't help that these refs and the Panthers players should be playing in a pool with that dive. At least AJ's awesome prediction piece dropped, so today wasn't all disappointment.
Appreciate that. I had a lot of fun writing it. I hope you guys had fun reading it. I know it doesn't have like the happiest ending for this season, but...
Well, based on tonight, that might be a good thing.
Well, and like, have you ever sat down and tried to come up with 20 predictions?
Yeah, that's a lot of predictions.
For a calendar year, not 20 predictions for the season, but for the entire year. Yeah. And it's like, I've got to include next season into this too. All righty.
Yeah, that's a lot of predictions for, you know, ones at least in the realm of possibility, unless you just pop off saying insane stuff. You know,
which I mean,
there's some fun in that too.
Yeah, there's some fun in there.
Anyway, I don't. You got any final thoughts, AJ?
It really sucked the way it ended because it had turned into a good hockey game.
They
it
reeled
into
you
a fun
back
one.
In.
Like, and would you have loved that game to have gone 2-1, 3-2, 4-3 instead of 4-1, 4-4?
Kept it close the whole way instead of being out on it for the entire second period and then back in. Yeah. Yeah, 100% bring that up.
Yeah,
that's insane. $100 is actually ridiculous, KO. Thank you so much.
I mean, if you're going to take one on the chin, that's a good way to do
100%,
it. 100%.
Like, anyone who we've ever banned from the channel, if you get $100, you can get unbanned right now. Guarantee
true,
you.
True enough.
The price for unban is $100.
Look, man, we gotta pay bills too. You think we're gonna put pride above that? Kidding me?
No shot. All right.
If that was $3, you would not be on the screen right now.
I'd put it on the screen for $3. I don't know if I'd give you the unban for $3, but I know, I know.
Have some respect, you whore.
$3 might be a little expensive. I might have to knock it down a couple more dollars, to be honest.
I don't actually, to answer, do I truly believe they won't trade this year? I don't know what they're going to do at the deadline. And I continue to say this because I don't know where they are in the standings and what that team looks like. And
what the market is set like.
Exactly. We don't know what other moves have been. Where is St. Louis in all this? Because they could be the big X factor in terms of being a seller or not a seller. Maybe a Nashville gets involved. You know, like where are other teams in all this? So that's what do I truly believe? It's always patience.
$2 from Dan saying KO is the Walrus, even though we know that's not true.
Yeah, we already know it's Dan Larkin. It's always been Dan Larkin.
Always has been, always will be.
Jeez.
We appreciate y'all being good sports, going back and forth with us in the chat. That game sucked, even though it was cool at times.
Yeah, I'm excited. They're going to, after tonight, I think they're closer to Arizona than they are Dallas in the standings. So
I think that's
This will either be a fun redemption arc or it will be just a disaster.
And
Which are interesting in their own way.
Well, I think it's reality that you've drifted in. It would be really tough for the Avs to win the division at this point.
I'm not there.
But I don't know that I care.
True.
If they win the division or not, they just need to get into the playoffs, which I still believe they will. So, yeah. And if they do play 800 hockey and Dallas falls apart or whatever and they win the division, awesome. Great. So,
yeah.
The minorest of positive notes to leave it on. We are out of here for today. We appreciate y'all. We got an off day pod tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, what should we talk about?
What do you want to talk about?
I was asking them, not you. Well, I already asked you. You didn't give me an answer.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you want to talk about, chat?
I did. You heard me ask. I asked him in like the first period. Yeah,
it's a little too early for the like mid-season check-in show. That's probably next week.
And I hate talking awards.
Yeah, we already did it once this year.
Yeah, like after the deadline, we can talk about awards again.
You talk about awards at like game 60.
Yeah. That starts to be like a regular conversation because guys get in the race or whatever. And, you know, we'll see if the Avs have anybody in those
races. Can you guys talk about coaching hires around the league and how they're doing?
No.
That sounds like it's going to put all of us to sleep.
Dope.
Under very specific circumstances, I'll talk about other teams' coaches. But
favorite snacks? God.
Dude, should we just do a totally off-the-rails show tomorrow? Maybe that's what we need.
I continue to advocate.
I'm down for the five-minute show.
I have advocated and said that I think on an off day, especially when things aren't going very well, where we can just kind of chat it up and maybe have a more lighthearted and fun and dumb show, we roll into the start of the podcast and chat gives us a topic, whatever it is.
Start
we talk
timer.
About that topic for 5 minutes and then at the end of it, no more. And then we move on to the next topic. And if it's hockey related, it's hockey related. If you want us to talk about the Bering Sea, then we're probably all going to be on Wikipedia trying to figure things out.
Could I even locate the Bering Sea on a map?
So that's... That's like, I think that would be a fun off day show, but I know other people have been super like, I don't know about that.
I can tell you Megan's favorite knife is the one that stabs people who spell Megan like that.
Nice. Got him. Oh, favorite Simpsons episodes? We have to have Blaze for that.
They all suck.
I think Blaze is the only one on our show, on our pod that watches Simpsons.
Or has watched like enough of it to really.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll do that tomorrow.
Do you want to do that tomorrow? Do you want to do 5 minutes?
Yes, I absolutely do.
I love this. I love the idea. The problem is what the hell do you title that podcast?
Yeah, five.
That's 5 minutes in heaven with DNVR Avalanche sounds hilarious.
We might need to do that pod after dark then. Look, I'm down for a GeoGuessr episode, but
well, we can all turn all the lights
off. I'd be really bad. I'm not very good at GeoGuessr. I just like playing. That's like with DNVR Twitch, though, more than it would be. Anyway.
Man, I miss DNVR Twitch.
Me too. It would be fun to jump on every once in a while.
Guys, we should go back to streaming on our off days, especially when Rudo and I play Overcooked together.
Oh, good.
Because you guys can see how much I just yell at Rudo, and he just does what I tell him.
It's true, because I'm terrible at that game otherwise.
It's pretty fun. I've been hanging out playing with the community. I've been playing with people in...
Yeah, you've been playing Battlefield?
Yeah,
and
I've been playing Battlefield with people in the Avs Discord.
Wild out here.
So...
We're still here. We gotta go. It's too late at night. We love you.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm gonna go home.
Bye.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.